Adventures of Sherlock Holmes, featuring John Patrick Lowry as Holmes and Lawrence Albert as Dr. Watson.
My name is Dr. John H. Watson. I don't believe I've ever told you the story of one of the first adventures that Sherlock Holmes and I ever shared, early on in our association. It was in May of the year 1881. We were much younger then. I was only 29, and Holmes 2 years my junior. Holmes had concluded the case I would later publish under the title A Study in Scarlet, so his name was quite unknown at the time. Well, at any rate, a few weeks after finishing that case, a rather fat envelope arrived at Baker Street, mailed from Paris, and addressed to Sherlock Holmes.
What's this? It's stuffed with francs.
Good heavens! How much is in there?
Well. Listen to this, Watson. My dear Mr. Holmes, word of your skill as a civilian detective has reached me via an English friend, Inspector Gregson of Scotland Yard, who very much admired your assistance in solving a difficult case. It must mean the Jefferson Hope matter.
Generous of Gregson to mention you at all. I thought he and Lestrade took all the credit.
No. Well, sorry, pair. Gregson is the more honest of the two. I've known that all along. Well, back to the letter. A delicate situation is developing in a noble French institution which I direct. Reputations are at risk, so I dare not inform our police. If you will accept, it is urgent that you investigate immediately. The money is yours to keep, whatever your decision. I await your reply by telegram at the earliest hour. And it's signed, Monsieur Marmont, 29 Rue de Lyon, Paris.
I say. He expects you to accept without knowing a thing about the case. Well, it's a preposterous assumption.
Yes. Quite preposterous, isn't it? How would you like to spend a few days in Paris, Watson? With money to spend.
Well, Holmes wired his acceptance despite some misgivings on my part, and we proceeded to pack for an undetermined stay in France. But fate had other plans. It seemed the channel boats were fully booked with winter-weary Englishmen bent on a continental holiday. No sailings were available for a week. But we were able to book passage on a night boat which carried freight and mail with accommodations for only 6 passengers. Holmes and I took the last 2 berths on that evening's sailing. The evening was mild but cloudy as we arrived at the North Woolwich dock on the Thames, where a steam packet was taking on supplies. The name Dover Maiden was just visible on its hull. A man in a dingy uniform stood on the dock, marking off bundles and boxes being taken aboard. Across the brow of his cap, gold letters spelled out, Captain.
Watson and Holmes. Right, just guy up this gangway. You're going cabin number 4.
And with that began a brief but eventful journey which was to bring into play the brilliant powers of Sherlock Holmes even before the ship brought us to the shores of France. I'll be back with The Adventure of the Dover Maiden in just a moment.
Question. What do people in Minnesota and Nebraska have in common? Their weather? Topography? Their politics? I don't think so. But what they do have is Imagination Theater. You see, more people in these two states subscribe to Imagination Theater than any other states in the Union. Maybe it's their commitment to good, wholesome family entertainment. Just $24.95 a month gets them the priceless opportunity to gather the whole family together for a weekly journey into the depths of their imagination. Just picture your family gathered around a campfire, listening to the Bougainville Giant or the Thing in the Woods. Call us today and order your very own Imagination Theater subscription. Just $24.95 a month, charged automatically to your Visa or MasterCard. And you can cancel anytime you wish. Call 800-229-7234 or go to our website, transmediasf.com, and order online. The Imagination Theater Subscription Club. Don't let Minnesota or Nebraska have something you don't. Order today.
As I was saying, Sherlock Holmes and I went aboard the Dover Maiden and found our stateroom, if you could call it that, in the aft cabin house, which stood above decks at the stern of the ship and housed 4 small cabins and a dining lounge, which was furnished with a central table and 6 chairs, all secure to the deck. Just forward of the deck house stood a tall funnel, which had begun to belch smoke. Forward were the hatches over the cargo hold, and forward of that was another deck house where they steered the ship. The galley and crew quarters were below decks. I should say the ship was about 120 feet in length, with perhaps a 30-foot beam. A working vessel, this, with little in the way of amenities.
And which will you have, Watson, the upper or the lower berth?
I really don't care.
That wounded leg of yours, hate to make you climb that little ladder.
Well, I don't mind a bit.
Of course, it's not as if we're going to spend the night in here.
Of course.
Well, good. I'll put my things up here for now.
There. Well, should be cozy.
Oh, come in. Ah, Captain.
Captain Charles is my name, and you would be Mr. Watson and Mr. Holmes.
Dr. Watson, actually, I'm a physician, and Mr. Holmes is a detective, a consulting detective.
Detective? Oh, I'll make a note of that. Now, we should be getting underway as soon as our missing parties show up.
Missing parties?
Yes, the Caspers, Mr. and Mrs. and her mother. As soon as they're aboard, we're off. Supper bell about 8. Should reach Calais before midnight. A pleasant journey, gentlemen. Glad to have you aboard.
I feel stifled in this room, Watson. I think I saw a couple of chairs on deck. What say we take the air?
Excellent idea.
Now, let's see if those chairs are still free. Ah, good.
Ah, they must have finished loading the ship.
Evidently.
Just waiting for the, what were their names?
Mr. and Mrs. Casper.
Ah, yes.
And here they come now, I should think. Pushing the old woman in a wheelchair.
Yes. They have a well bundle, don't they? Hat, muffler, robe?
Pitifully weak. The head nods with every bump.
Yes, well, muscle atrophy is common in the very ages. The daughter is pausing to talk to her. See if she's all right.
You may want to offer your services.
Well, there's little anyone can do about diseases of age.
Well, here they are at last. Ah, Jack, you made it. Need some help?
No, we can manage.
Hello, Dorothy. Welcome aboard.
Hello, Mr. Trentham.
Want some help with that wheelchair?
No, thank you. I'm doing fine.
I was beginning to wonder if you were going to make it.
It took us a bit longer than we expected to fetch Mum and get her ready.
And is Eloise aboard?
Of course. She's in the cabin feeling seasick already.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
Poor thing. Which cabin is she in?
We're in number 1. You'll be in number 2, and your mother will be in number 3.
I'll take her to her cabin right away. This is Mr. Trentham, Mum.
Good evening, Mum.
She's very hard of hearing, Mr. Trentham. We'll get her comfortable in her cabin and make sure she's warm enough. Here we go, Mum. Have you tucked in nice and cozy in no time?
No, these cabins are awfully small, but beggars can't be choosers, booking as late as we did. We're lucky I could get tickets at all.
Ah, good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
Good evening.
And you'd be in cabin 4?
Yes, we have cabin 4.
Well, I'm Donald Trentham, and this is Jack Casper.
How do you do? I'm Sherlock Holmes, and this is Dr. John Watson.
Good evening.
Delighted to meet you both.
All right, cast off the bar, Lord.
On holiday, are you, gentlemen?
No, we're going to Paris on a criminal investigation.
Oh, you don't say. Are you the police?
I am a consulting detective, and I have been retained to investigate a case in Paris.
Well, then you don't work for Scotland Yard?
No, as I said, I am a consulting detective.
The world's first and only.
Why, that's very impressive. Do you do that kind of work too, Doctor?
I help where I can.
Dr. Watson is entirely too modest. I wouldn't care to undertake any investigation without him.
Your mother-in-law is ill, I take it, Mr. Casper?
I'm afraid so. Has been for some time. We're taking her to Lourdes.
Oh, I see. Lourdes. For the waters?
For the miracles. People are being cured of all sorts of things. I don't know your position on these things, but we are a devout family, and our priest gave us his blessing for the trip, even if our doctor didn't.
And the Trenthams are going there with you?
No, I'm afraid my interests are commercial. I own a boot factory in London, and I'll be in France on business.
I see. Well, we'll be seeing you gentlemen and your wives at dinner, no doubt.
No doubt. Well, I'm going in. Are you coming, Jack?
Oh, yes, Don. Coming. Gentlemen?
Well, Holmes, our cabin may be a third the size of one on an ocean liner, but at least I won't have to dress for dinner. That's enough travel to last me a good while. You seem to thrive on it.
I thrive on the study of people and circumstances. There is a story hidden beneath the shirt front of every man in the world. We have a visitor.
Mr. Holmes.
Mr. Casper.
May I come in?
Certainly.
I hope I'm not intruding.
Not at all.
This is most unusual, I know, but when you said you were a detective, I felt as if fate brought us together, in a manner of speaking.
How can I be of service?
Mr. Holmes, Dr. Watson, I'm in fear for my life.
How so?
Do you promise not to say anything to anyone else?
If you like.
For years, I have worked faithfully for Trentham Boot Works. I put Trentham boots in some of the finest shops in England, and my wife, Dorothy, works in the head office as bookkeeper. We devote our lives to the company.
I see.
But lately, Donald Trentham has become, well, odd.
In what way?
He as much as accused me of stealing from the company. I handle domestic sales and collections, and they've been off a bit lately. But he'd rather blame someone than look to the competition.
I see.
But that's not all. He's also made remarks about me and his wife Eloise, completely unfounded.
What sort of remarks?
Trentham has a vicious temper, especially when he's drinking. And more than once he's driven Eloise to tears when she's been at the office. All I ever did was offer her some sympathy, a kind word here and there. But he chose to see something more, when there was nothing more to see.
Then why are the four of you traveling together?
And well, you may ask. We had a holiday coming, Dorothy and me, and we saved our pennies so we could travel down to the south of France and bring her mum to Lourdes. And I'd hoped to bathe along the French coast. Well, Dorothy mentioned our plans to Eloise. Eloise wanted to come along with us. Donald wouldn't hear of it. Apparently, he suspected she just wanted to be near me, which is outrageous. I wouldn't think of looking at another woman, much less the wife of my employer. Anyway, there was a terrible row between the two of them, ending up with him agreeing to come along and turn it into a business trip.
And what would you like me to do?
Just watch him, Mr. Holmes. I'm barely fit, but he's half again my size and strong as an ox. And with his temper... Well, if anything should happen to me, I would appreciate it if you knew how the land lies.
I see.
All that Dorothy and I want is a quiet pilgrimage down to Lourdes and some relief for her poor mother.
I understand.
Mr. Casper, would you like me to look in on her?
Oh, that would be so kind of you, Doctor. Let me slip back to her cabin and see if she's awake. She spends a lot of her time sleeping.
Well, if you'd like me to visit her, just say the word.
I will. And thank you both for hearing me out. And please, not a word.
Our lips are sealed. Well, what was that you were saying about a story behind every shirt front?
Yes. I had no hope for the hours we'll have to spend on this miserable little vessel, but now I look forward to every minute.
The Dover Maiden made its way down the Thames at a slow pace, for water traffic was a tangle and it was getting dark. We glided past docks and wharves and many vessels of all sizes. I stood on the narrow portside promenade where a deckhand was coiling a rope. From below, I could smell food being cooked in the galley. I'd been standing there only a few minutes when Holmes sauntered up.
Ah, there you are, Watson. We have another visitor in our cabin. Care to join me?
Who is it?
Mr. Trentham has taken me aside and asked for a private audience.
Oh?
We're about to hear the other side of Mr. Casper's story, I should think. He's waiting in the cabin right now, and I think he's had a bit to drink.
Good of you to see me. Good evening again, Doctor.
Mr. Trentham?
I need to say a word to you, Mr. Holmes.
Yes?
You've met Jack Casper, the fellow traveling with us?
Yes.
I took him on 5 years ago as a salesman. Later, made him manager. He brought in his wife to keep the books. Ideal employees, I would have thought. But in the past year, I've seen our profits begin to dwindle. Casper has an explanation, of course. Some of our credit customers aren't paying on time, or waste has gone up in the factory, or shipping costs have increased.
But you don't believe it?
No. I've done some checking. I think Casper and his wife are fleecing me, but I'm dashed if I can find out how they're doing it.
And you've spoken to them about this?
Of course, but they deny everything.
Well, once we're back in London, I may be of some help, but I can do nothing about your business losses while we're away.
I understand that. But I'd like you to keep an eye on him all the same.
Well, I may be of some help.
But there's another thing.
Yes?
A man doesn't like to admit these things, but...
You may speak freely. It will go no further than this cabin.
Well, the fact is... The fact is, I think Casper and my wife, Eloise, are more than just friends.
Really?
Yes. There are certain looks between them. Well, it's hard to put a finger on it, but you know what I mean.
If I may say so, it's strange that you would be traveling together, given your feelings about the Caspers.
Well, at first, Eloise asked if she could go with them alone. I refused, but she raised such a row. In the end, I had no other course than to let her go, and go along with her. So, Mr. Holmes, you're a detective. Now that you know what I've told you, I want you to watch the three of them and tell me what you think. I'll pay you, of course. Will you do it?
I'll do what I can.
Good. See you at dinner.
And with that, Trentham left the cabin and Holmes sat on the lower bunk, a smile beginning to crease his face.
Ha-ha! A routine channel crossing turns into a penny novel. How delightful, Watson. How delightful.
But at that moment, Sherlock Holmes couldn't have known the final twist that lay ahead. I'll tell you about that shortly.
Find the mystery. Learn where it hides.
I can't believe what I'm seeing.
And see where your mind takes you. On Imagination Theater, America's premier radio drama.
The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
It's a double feature movie for your mind.
We are giving them an Earth base in return for the Earth.
Have you ever seen a pet wandering in the streets and found yourself unsure if you should pick it up? How would you help reunite it with its owner? Have you thought about adopting a pet but were unsure of where to go? Hi, I'm Shelley Barbary, here to tell you that now there's an easy answer to these questions as well as a lot more. It's called Pets 911. It's a free public service that enables anyone to access all the information that will help us take better care of our pets. By calling 1-888-PETS-911 or visiting the website at 1-888-PETS-911.org, you can learn how to locate a lost pet or list one that you found. It tells you where the closest adoption facility is, staying and neutering services, emergency pet care, general health information, and much more. So please call 1-888-PETS-911 or visit the website at 1-888-PETS-911.org and do your part to help ensure a better future for our pets.
Now we return to Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson.
A bell rang aboard the Durban Maiden, calling us to the small dining lounge. As we passed the door to cabin number 3, Dorothy Casper stepped out.
I'll bring you your dinner as soon as it's served, son. Oh, good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening, Mrs. Casper. Going to dinner?
Yes. I'm going to bring my mum her dinner when it's served.
Donald, I wouldn't be throwing these charges around, Donald.
Don't you think I know what you've been doing? You've been stealing my money, and you're trying to steal my wife.
Don't
you
stand up for Jack, by all means.
Oh, and here's Dorothy. You fixed the books, haven't you, Dorothy?
I won't have you saying that about my wife.
I'll say whatever I please about your wife and you and my wife.
You will not. You blame everyone but yourself, Donald.
I've got eyes to see with. You think I can't see what's been going on?
Be quiet, Donald, for heaven's sakes. We're not alone.
Mr. Holmes, Dr. Watson, I'm sorry you had to hear what this madman is saying.
Oh, madman am I? Explain why my company started losing money the same year you came to work for me.
That's a lie. You made more money than before, right up until...
Oh, yes, I would have done with your wife keeping my accounts and covering up what you stole.
All right, that's enough. You want to keep talking like this, come out on deck with me.
You want me to go out on deck? Right, I'll go out on deck and we'll finish it.
Donald, Jack, don't go. He's bigger than you.
Stay inside, all of you. I can take care of myself. Don't you worry.
Stop them. Someone.
I'll be right back when I'm done with this scoundrel.
I'm so ashamed of my husband. Mr. Holmes, won't you stop them?
No, Eloise. He's dangerous. Haven't you seen him in a fury before now?
Never like this.
No, Donald. Don't do it. Please don't do it. Good Lord.
Oh no. He shot him.
Holmes and I dashed to the door. The women right behind us. Trenton was at the rail looking down into the water. On the deck lay a small pistol, and Casper was nowhere to be seen.
What have you done, Donald? What have you done?
Confound it, I didn't do anything.
I didn't know you brought your gun, Donald.
I didn't. That's not my gun. Casper had the gun. He shot in the air, and then he jumped over the rail.
This is not your gun, Mr. Trenton.
Oh, well, it's something like my gun.
Yes, it is, Donald. See your initials on the handle. It is your gun.
But I... Look here, this isn't the way it looks.
We all heard you threaten Jack. You killed him.
Take the gun and hold it carefully, Watson. I'll be back directly.
Holmes disappeared around the stern of the ship. We felt the ship stop. A boat was lowered with 2 crewmen to search for Casper.
Oh, poor Jack. And Mother, what must she be thinking? She must have heard the shot. I'm going to her cabin. Oh, this is terrible, terrible.
Dorothy Casper hurried to her mother's cabin. In the lounge, Trenton sat at the table with his head in his hands, while his wife stood against the wall, visibly shaken. Captain Charles came in shortly after and announced that as master of the Dover Maiden, he would conduct an investigation. The search boat returned, reporting no luck in finding Casper's body. Then, Dorothy Casper wheeled her mother into the lounge. And finally, Holmes came back in, bringing one of the deckhands with him.
Since the crime was committed on a British vessel while in British waters, it's my responsibility to give a full report to Scotland Yard, but...
With your permission, Captain, I've asked this sailor to tell me what he knows.
Very well, Brownie.
Aye, sir.
Browning. I just came round to the port side and I saw a rope tied to the rail, trailing over the side of the ship.
Yes, sir?
Who put it there?
I did.
Why?
Well, speak up, lad.
Well, I couldn't see no harm in it. And he gave me half a quid.
Who gave you half a quid?
Well, I don't know his name.
One of the passengers. Is he in this room?
No, sir.
When did you throw the line overboard?
When you lot went into the lounge.
Did you see anyone climb aboard on that line?
No, sir. I was below decks.
Yes, your part in this was done. Now, here is what I saw. After the gunshot, while the rest of you were still on the starboard side, I walked round the stern of the ship and saw the rope trailing in the water. There was a puddle of water on the deck and a clear trail of water and footprints leading from the deck to the door of one of the cabins.
Are you saying we will stay away on board?
Oh, no. We have the same number of souls on board at this minute that we had when we departed.
How can you say that? What about Jack?
Jack is safe and sound.
Well, then, where is he?
Would you like to show us, Mrs. Casper? No? Then permit me to introduce you to your invalid mother. First, I'll remove her hat and veil,
hey,
then her wig and muffler.
My God, it's Casper, all right.
You may step out of the wheelchair now, Mr. Casper.
What did you do with the old lady?
There never was an old lady, was there, Mr. Casper? You recall that you told me you enjoy swimming, so I presume that after you fired the gun in the air, you swam round the back of the ship and held to the rope until you were assured that the rest of us were all on the other side. Then you climbed back aboard and fled into your mother-in-law's cabin where you stripped off your wet clothes and assumed the disguise. And so, Jack Casper would have disappeared, the police would hold Donald Trentham for his murder, while you and your wife began a new life in Europe on the cash you embezzled from the shoe company. Is that how you planned it?
You'll never prove it.
I presume you also stole Trentham's gun from his office, or did your wife do that? Captain, will you inspect cabin number 4 and locate a soaking wet pair of Trentham brand shoes, a pile of wet clothes, along with a padded dressmaker's dummy, probably tucked into a steamer trunk?
Just a footnote. Faced with the evidence Holmes had found, the Caspers finally confessed. And Holmes and I sailed on to France and another adventure, which I may tell you about at another time. But I'll have a different tale for you when next we meet.
The Further Adventures of Sherlock Holmes featured John Patrick Lowry as Holmes and Lawrence Albert as Dr. Watson. Also in our cast were Jeff Stitzer, William Hamer, Jim French, Kathy Levin, and Caitlin Finney. The script was written and directed by Jim French. The characters of Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson were created by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle and appear in stories and novels by him. Use of these characters in this radio series is by arrangement with the estate of Dame Jean Conan Doyle. This is Dennis Bateman speaking.